Welcome to Executive Tools. The Executive Trinity, Chapter 1, Why and What? Part 1. This cast answers these questions. What is the Executive Trinity? Why is the Executive Trinity important? What are the executive's responsibilities in the Executive Trinity? Well, if you want to answer these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
Do you want to align all your leaders with the same proven management tools? Well, we deliver on-site and virtual training for organizations worldwide. Build consistency, improve execution, and strengthen leadership at every level of your organization. You can explore our options online at manager-tools.com/training or send us an email to customerservice@manager-tools.com to learn more.
Good morning, Mark. Great to see your face on the video today. I imagine everybody knows that listens to Executive Tools that we're not in the same room.
Nope.
We're hundreds of miles away. And to most people, we sound like we're in the same room. So
yeah,
thanks to our audio engineer, Paul Figioni.
Paul Figioni.
The best. The absolute the best. So, okay. Today, we're going to talk about the Executive Trinity. And as I was telling you, Mark, before this cast, like
you were certain we had done.
I searched through all the Executive Tools guys. Certainly, we've already done this. He's finally lost his mind and has written the podcast twice.
Right. Yeah. In fact, I've never done that. I got a few paragraphs into one and realized it was bad. That was 5 years ago on Manager Tools. But I've been waiting to write this cast, and I feel like the community has been very nice to me in not saying, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? So for the record, we're starting 2026. This is almost the first cast of 2026. And I intend to get through a good bit of the Executive Trinity this year. And some people have asked me, Mark, wait a minute. When we started Manager Tools, you know, it was one cast, solution to a stalled technical career, and then right into one-on-ones and feedback, coaching, and delegation. Totally right. And Executive Tools casts are harder to write. Executives are harder to write for because there's more variability. Also, when you're talking to managers, you're talking about their individual behaviors, as we'll talk about again in the cast. But when you're talking about executives, you're talking about organizational systems and processes, and it's different. And this cast won't be exceptionally actionable. It'll just lay out the theory of the Trinity, which, by the way, when you think about it, Mike, we did not put out a cast called the Management Trinity or the Manager Tools Trinity for quite a while.
That's true.
I think it was 6 months or 9 months or something when we put all together one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation. You and I both knew it. That was the thing, but the audience didn't. And every once in a while, I do get somebody reminding me, you know, you've got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. I said, you know, you remind me of Mike saying the ideal job for Mark is to be chained to a desk typing until his fingers.
Yeah, I think most people would agree with me.
Yeah. Just,
so we're all right.
So good.
Increasingly concentric circles around your own desk, dude.
Yeah.
And the circle around your desk should be very small because you're chained
very small.
To it.
Yeah. Chained to it.
Oh, by the way, folks, I have good news here. I have really good news, which is the Executive Trinity actually only has three things in it. So
yes, that's right.
We've learned how to count, and we're getting better.
There's a good reason, though. Come on. Don't give me too much trouble about that. There's a good reason why the Manager Tools Trinity has four parts, as we've talked about. Please don't write me. We actually have... No, I'm sorry. I should never say that. Of course, you can write me. mahorseman@manager-tools.com. I'll get it, and I'll respond. But, yeah. All right. Let's stop dithering, and let's do something that our high D listeners want us to do, which is get to the point.
Yes, let's do that.
So, folks, if you spend enough time around successful, large organizations, you begin to see patterns of behavior. In fact, I will say that one of my neat experiences in my consulting career at Horseman & Company was because I went to so many different companies and because I was looking for systems and processes and how things worked, but I was not in them deeply the way the managers and executives I was working with were. It was easier for me to see the systems. That's not to say that I invented the systems, because I didn't. Companies have invented these systems over 100 years of innovation and so on. But what I discovered was a lot of the people in the companies didn't know the systems existed. They were a cog in the larger system. They understood how the system rained deliverables on them, but they didn't know that these three systems existed. And in many cases, when you compare the patterns that we're going to talk about today, the systems, processes, patterns, whatever you want to call them, to smaller companies who want to be bigger, you tend to see an absence of these patterns. And some people would say, well, the reason for that is I don't want to engage in that until I'm big enough to afford it and we can put that in place. And of course, my response is, if you want to be bigger, act like bigger companies.
That's right.
And these patterns are the systems that executives use to run large human organizations, which we've said many times before. Many sociologists agree the greatest achievement of humankind is large human organizations. The ability to massively magnify the individual capabilities through alignment and communication and so on is absolutely incredible. And there are three core systems: strategy, operations, and people. So let's talk about the outline. The executive trinity does comprise those three systems. We're going to talk about why the trio of systems is so prevalent. Then we're going to give you just a bit. We're going to introduce what strategy is, what the operations system is, and what the people system is. And then we want to finish up with something that a bunch of folks seem to miss. They seem to think that they're going to go from management stuff to executive stuff. That's not true. The Manager Tools Trinity still applies to you for the vast majority of executives, unless you're an individual contributor. And there are executives who are individual contributors, because as you become an executive, you are still also a manager.
Yeah.
So the Trinity, the Manager Tools Trinity, the four-part Manager Tools Trinity, there you go, still applies.
Excellent. All right. I'm looking forward to this.
This is going to be my favorite cast probably of the year, because now people will say when, and I'm going to say you missed it. I've already done it. Yeah. And I'll say something else that I shouldn't say very much on while I'm recorded. I haven't planned it out yet. I just figured I'd start going from zero to one, but it is possible that at some point this year we'll figure out the need in order to get all these out. And there are probably 50 to 100 podcasts
on this,
the Trinity, the Executive Trinity, that may need to at times or maybe permanently go to weekly for executive tools.
Oh, I hear the chorus of cheers.
Yes.
In the background. Yes. Okay. You heard it here.
Yeah. So, all right. And you can blame me that I'm the one that said it, Mike.
Hi, hi.
Yeah. Yeah. Making big, bold declarations. Promises. Yeah.
Tipping your hand.
Checks, okay. Your body can't cash. Yeah. All right. So the Executive Trinity comprises three systems. Please notice I did not use the word of in the title. It is not comprised of three systems. It comprises three systems. They are interconnecting systems, strategy, operations, and people, by which and through which executives lead and manage organizations. I would guess 80% of Fortune 1000 companies use them, even though in some cases people don't really realize it, even some of the people in that company. Now, these three core, but also very high-level systems are quite prevalent. I see them everywhere in big companies. Regardless of the nature of the details that any individual company uses to define the particulars of their implementation of the systems. So when we talk about strategy, there could be some people using Blue Ocean, there could be some using Play to Win, there could be some others using Porter's Five Forces. I mean, there's a bunch. If you come to our Effective Executive Conference, and by the way, we do still have a few slots. This cast is going out, I think, on Wednesday, January 28th. And I think in February 18th and 19th in Monterey, we're having our third Effective Executive Conference, and we'll dig more into some of this stuff. But different companies use these systems different ways. And in some cases, those companies don't actually talk about that system.
Right. But it exists. They just don't.
But it exists.
Don't they don't have words around it.
And they understand it's all connected, but they don't really have words around it. And for me, when I learned that, it was like the lily pond analogy that I've used a few times before, right? The old joke or the old quiz is, if you have a lily pond, it's day one and there's one lily on the pond. And every day, the number of lilies on the pond doubles. So day two, you have two. Day three, you have four, eight, 16, and so on. And the question is, if the pond fills up in 30 days, how long does it take for the pond to be halfway filled? And this is a classic example of forward thinking doesn't get you there, but backward thinking does. And the answer becomes, of course, 29 days. However, what's important about that from a learning and self-development perspective is that in the beginning, you feel like you're learning just a little, and then you learn a little more and a little more and a little more. But sometime in your learning, as you dig deep, as you do a deep dive, as Jack Welch would say, or you really fall down a well and really start paying attention, and no, I'm not talking about Instagram or TikTok, you start making connections between things you've already learned. And so you're able to learn faster. Each point you learn about a particular system or process or idea or whatever starts connecting. That's one of the many beauties of the human brain and the human mind, starts connecting with other things. And so you discover as you start digging into this, all sorts of new connections are occurring and you learn faster. And that's why, using the lily pond analogy, you can go from knowing half of something to knowing all of something in a day. Of course, those things are always changing. So to extend the example, probably incorrectly, the pond is also getting bigger. There's more to learn. But as you start learning, you feel like, I don't know anything. I know a little. And then suddenly you really start learning, you make connections. And I would argue that when you start making those kind of connections, you can become very creative about how you interact with whatever it is you're learning about.
And it's awesome news because tomorrow, on the 30th day, I'm going to be twice as smart. So maybe we should record this tomorrow.
That's it. Yeah. You remind me of the guy who says he just learned that most people die within 12 miles of home because that's where most people live the majority of their lives. And the guy says, well, I'm moving then. I'm definitely moving. Yeah.
Why are you looking under the light street light?
Right. Yeah. Because the light is better there. Yeah. So look, there are many commonalities among organizations, even though companies are quite different in style or detail. But what's funny about that is these systems we're going to talk about, strategy, operations, people, are so prevalent and necessary that we know of several companies' executives who denied using a trinity of systems until they were shown, in fact, that they were, and they were kind of stunned by the lack of insight. And if you don't know that, and you're essentially using the parts, the deliverables, you have a strategy meeting, but you don't recognize why it should connect to the operations meeting in this way. We'll talk about cadence sometime this year, the importance of having a strategic operational people system cadence. They don't realize that their strategy system is out of alignment with the people system, the operations system. In fact, I've had a couple people tell me, actually, the reason that's so is it's just too much work. It's just too much work to do them in the cadence where that I'm going to be like, dude, I don't think you can get away with being an executive and saying, there's too much work. I need to go home and take a nap. And by the way, once you learn it, you immediately start changing how you communicate and how you behave around your priorities, your calendars, and your deliverables, as you might imagine, once you realize the existence of these things and their necessity that they be interconnected.
Yeah. And therein lies the chains attached to executives, right?
Yeah, we have a cast. I think it's called Welcome to the Box, right? About, you know, people think they're going to have more freedom. No, I'm sorry. You technically do have more freedom, but the pile of work that they pile on top of you is so big that you don't feel free. So this cast is titled The Executive Trinity, Three Systems, Why and What. So why do we see these three systems? It actually is, some of you are going to go a little wobbly on me here, but it is a case of culture, which is behavior, the activity of interacting, predating society, which is in the organizational sense, the company. Okay. These systems were all learned over time and adopted by executives who saw them work, realized they simplified things, made things clearer to more people, and then those same people transported them from the organization they're in one place to another. I have people all the time say, oh, the new CEO is messing everything up. We've had a pretty good system going here. And she brought in a brand new strategy process. Yeah, it's her strategy process. She's the one responsible for it. And so she should get the strategy process she wants. Now, you might argue, well, there's 100 people involved in our strategy thing. That's not an unusual number. And why should we change our entire system for those 100 people when the only person who's benefiting from the new one is the one? And the new CEO, I said, because it's hers and because she can and because she's the most important person we need to optimize, not the other 100. So people learn stuff and then they take them with them when they go other places. You might think, by the way, that all of these systems, for instance, all the strategy systems came out of Harvard Business Review or Rotman or, you know, MIT or Duke. Not true. Not true at all. These systems evolved. They absolutely evolved. Now, if you have a strategy system that uses Michael Porter's five forces, yes, Michael Porter is one of the gurus of strategy. You could also be using the kernel strategy of the guy who we had on the show, a rare guest on the show, whose name is escaping me right now. And I should have put his name in the show notes, obviously. You could be using that, and it could be something that they, as a consultant or as a writer, as a thought leader, put out there. But I know people who don't even know, they've been at their company for 15 years and don't even know that the system they use is Porter's Five Forces. I'm not a big fan of Porter's Five Forces. I think it's brilliant work. I'm just not a really big fan of it. I'm interested in something a little bit more prosaic, more plebeian, basically. We have a saying here at Manager Tools that we stole from Peter Drucker, rest in peace. And Mr. Drucker said, you should organize your company so that any fool could run it, because someday, some damn fool will. Let's just make it easy. And so sometimes some of the systems that people use are complex. And we don't want complexity on top of hard decisions. Now, I saw an Instagram thing the other day, Mike, that really kind of frustrated me. People get on Instagram and this guy, and I get a lot of business stuff on Instagram.
Why is Sarah letting you anywhere near Instagram? Just guaranteed to create problems.
I will say I get a lot of golf, a lot of geopolitical systems around freedom and democracy and socialism and communism and so on. And I also, obviously a lot of golf, but I also get a lot of management stuff and leadership stuff, although it's relatively light and I should probably go on Instagram and get 3 or 4 followers for my feed talking about management, leadership, and so on. But I saw this guy come on and he said, the reason most big companies fail is complexity. And then he went on to say that they don't understand their markets and everything else. So I'm like, no, that's not actually why. No, really not. Companies do try to make things pretty simple, in my experience. If you're new to something, it seems complex, but then you go through the lily pond and suddenly you realize, I take this for granted. This is how we do strategy. In fact, I don't even think of myself as doing strategy when I'm acting on a deliverable that came out of the strategy process that I was a part of. So basically, because we've seen them so many times without the companies even seeing them as three systems, that I've come to see that the executive trinity is both necessary and sufficient, which is a really good phrase, both necessary and sufficient. Successful organizations must employ these three systems. And yet, this is the killer part. These are the musts, but they need not employ any more systems than these at a high level, at the global level, in order to succeed. That's how good it is. Now, somebody might say, well, we need a supply chain system. I said, yeah, and that's subordinate to the operations system. Okay, we're talking about the top level of stuff. These are the alpha predators of the human organizational world. I mean, when you think about it for a minute, it's pretty darn rare. The idea that there are three core systems and only three core systems to run 100+ billion-dollar companies. But the data we have, nevertheless, really strongly suggests that's actually true. Now, let's go back. I know some people are saying, well, Mark, you know, that isn't so in my company. I want you to pause and reconsider for a few reasons. First, your company may be too small. Okay. We don't mean that pejoratively. We're not dissing you because you're a small company. Heck, we're probably smaller than the vast majority of the companies in the Manager Tools community that are represented by people who are employed by Manager Tools community members. But what we mean is you can run a small company without many of the systems necessary to align tens of thousands of employees in larger organizations. Okay? We get that. But also keep in mind that even if you are too small, again, not pejorative, that alone does not mean these systems don't exist. The one thing that your company does want to become is bigger. There are very few companies with very unusual missions, visions, values, and so on that don't want to become bigger. And the drive for growth, which is, we'll talk about that more. We've already talked about it in the podcast. One of the things that executives are responsible for, the drive for growth suggests that all companies will end up using these systems at some point, at least the ones that extend their longevity to the point where they're getting big. And I also be clear, you can use these systems as a small company. We do, but you can if you want to. And it ought to be obvious what all this means. Adopting these systems more quickly, sooner, will make you better when you need them. You don't want to grow without these systems and then have to put these systems in place when you've gotten big and things are becoming unmanageable and have to learn how to do them by doing them for real. Now, second, after that, you may have to look past in your company, not just if you're small, even if you're medium-sized, in some cases, if you're big, you have to look past the names of all the systems you interact with or aggregate some smaller systems in your organization to see their strategic systemic implications and existence. That's what I find a lot of people do. Oh, that's not our people system. That's our succession planning system. Oh, that's not our people system. That's our compensation system. Oh, that's not our people system. That's our performance management system. Like, dude, do you not think all those things work together? And yeah, those are your people systems. At the very top of your organization, if you're mid to large size, they probably see them as these three systems, even if they're subcomponents, those which you interact with, if your boss deigns to explain it to you, and many of them don't, and they ought to be shanghaied for that, even if those systems are named different things. Another thing, you may not have been exposed to these foundational systems yet, okay? Your boss may be, or her boss, but not you. But we would guess that you are affected by them in the form of deliverables required by your chain of leadership as a function of these systems. Look, if you're being asked to gather performance review data on your people, that may seem like a random task until you understand that the people system requires your boss to attend session C's in advance of annual performance review and compensations discussions at her or her boss's level. Many people say, oh, gosh, it seems like every once in a while I get a dump of stuff from my boss or from his boss or whatever. Yeah, and if you'd have been paying attention to your cadence, and by the way, we have a podcast about that called Swimming Upstream and paying attention to your boss's calendar and your customer's calendar and your customer's customer's calendar and industry calendars and so on, you will begin to see how you probably are a part of these things, even though you're not exposed to them. It's certainly true that if you have a high potential person working for you, maybe you're a director with a superstar manager or a VP that maybe you're not at the strategic level yet, but you have a director who's been doing great things, that high potential person is part of the people system. That's just one small example. And you're going to be asked for information about them and you'll be quizzed about them at various times. And in that time, you're part of the people system of your organization.
Take your networking to the next level at this year's M Conference. Connect with top leaders, build relationships that move your career forward, and learn from the best in the industry. Join us in Los Angeles on October 6th and 7th for 2 days that can truly change your path. Secure your spot now by visiting us at manager-tools.com/mconference.
All of this brings us to an obvious question. Why do these systems exist? And so prevalently as a trio, you know, a trinity of systems.
This is probably a pretty complex answer, I imagine.
You might think it is, but of course, if you've got a multi-billion dollar company with only three systems, then you realize there's a word for the kind of people who think this way. I can't remember it right now, but the answer has to be simple. If the solution is simple, the question or the answer has to be simple, and the answer is because it works, okay? Again, I encourage you to read about culture and society. My favorite book about it, other than Closing of the American Mind, and many other very famous books, like books by Aristotle and Socrates and Marcus Aurelius, Meditations by Marcus Aurelius, is incredible. And the answer is because it works.
It's kind of seems to me a little bit that the executive trinity is descriptive versus prescriptive. It's not as if somebody sat down and said, okay, let me think about the problems and what the systems need to be.
Exactly.
This is organizations evolved over time, and our executive trinity is a description of what has been proven to work.
Yes, exactly. Because again, culture predates society. The vast majority of our professional behaviors are not dictated by a societal leader. This is one of the reasons why socialism has problems. But rather by the billions upon billions of interactions that humanity engages in every day. We imitate the things that work and shun the things that don't. Okay? The people who use systems that work prosper, regardless of the system's social media reputation, right? You could try to sell something like this. I have a different way of doing it. Well, people have to use it and it has to work, and there has to be social proof for that thing to take hold and to become so common in so many large organizations. And look, if the systems you choose to run your company don't work and they don't lead to success, those at your company will find something new. They'll go elsewhere, and that system won't be transported by them. It won't be shared by them. And so it won't get adapted elsewhere or adopted. Now, I want to make a point. Every time I talk about culture predating society and about companies learning things and adapting and so on, and, you know, ideas dying out, if you will, because they don't work, or ideas prospering because they do work, I want to just address what I know I'm going to get some email about. What we're talking about here is not social Darwinism or Darwin, you know, the Darwinistic idea. People who don't like capitalism also generally don't like the idea of social Darwinism. Darwinism, in this instance, would suggest that those who use these tools and systems would interact, breed, and their offspring would prosper, while those without the systems would fail. But the problem with Darwinism is, it may sound right, but it's too narrow and too biological a construction. Cultural versus societal systems like these are available to everyone, okay? The problem with, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Cultural norms like these are available through imitation versus breeding. Everyone can adopt the superior system and thrive. And this can happen instantly rather than having to wait for generations. Now, if someone suggests that corporate growth is just Darwinism, then that can't be true, because it doesn't follow a biological timeline. It follows an idea timeline. Gosh, I remember when the idea of reengineering the company came out in the 1990s. I think it was Michael Hammer and a couple other guys, and they made millions, probably billions, on reengineering companies. The only reason it was so successful is because people tried it and it worked. And if it didn't work, people stopped using it. And at some point, actually, it stopped getting talked about. In fact, because companies are much better now at understanding how they have to address the work part in order to figure out what the people part should be. Look, we also believe that these three interlocking systems are highly prevalent because they are each necessary, but again, in totality, they're also sufficient. As humans, whether it is right or logical or not, we want things to be simple. A la Drucker, some damn fool will run your company someday. If we told you there are 35 systems that must be tightly managed to create organizational success, most people would assume it couldn't be done. And you might think, well, actually, if you get rid of these three big systems, Mark, then there are 35 systems. Yes, but it's just like the Lord of the Rings and one ring to bind them and three systems to bind them all together. If you try to coordinate 35 independent systems and that's the way you say you run your company, you won't be able to integrate them all. What is the, how many different combinations or permutations? I can never get those right. Combinations and permutations are there of 35 different systems. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Right? Yeah. We are aware of one medium-sized company who believes it is doable to have 35 systems. I didn't say 35 randomly. There is a company I know that has 35 systems. And in fact, they've not been growing for the last couple of years as these systems have sort of taken, everyone understands all the systems. They sometimes have to remember what they're named, which is a very bad sign if that's the way you're going to run your company. So as I said, structure your company so a fool could run it because someday some damn fool will. Unnecessary complexity is to be avoided at all costs when it comes to corporate operations and structures. Okay. At the same time, not only is it necessary, but it's sufficient. With just these three systems, as you'll see when we lay it all out, the needs of the organization are satisfied.
That's pretty appealing.
Yeah.
Three systems and have all the needs met.
Yeah, and when you think about the complexity of an executive's job in terms of having to deal with multiple shareholders, let alone stakeholders, and customers, and executives vying for power, and employees needing to be led and inspired, products and services to be created, manufactured, delivered, innovated upon, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you just think it's going to be a balkanized combination of systems, you're going to fail. And that's what happens to a lot of small companies. They add more systems. They need somebody to run that system. Then they have a bunch of people. The systems are not interconnected and suddenly they become unprofitable. Actually, they do suddenly become unprofitable. But you have to remember Hemingway's comment when somebody asked him about how he went bankrupt. He said, gradually and then very quickly. Or no, gradually and then all of a sudden, right? So in other words, he was admitting, I did a bunch of dumb stuff and that put me in a situation where I finally had to declare bankruptcy. And that's what happens to small companies. And unfortunately for many of them, they associate their failure with the failure of the system that broke at the time that caused them the problem. When in fact, what it was a combination of systems and a combination of people and no interaction among those that were effective and a massive burden on leadership and so on. And the way you get to these three systems is really simple. All executives have two core responsibilities: results growth and leader development. We've talked about, we did a cast last year in 2025 about this. In order to grow results, surely no one would argue that you need to plan for the future to address where and how that growth will occur. That's strategy. Also, in order to grow results, you have to build upon existing results. You need to run your company efficiently to make sure some reasonable part of your top line revenue becomes bottom line profit and or EBITDA or whatever, however you measure it, to fund that growth. Profit is not a four-letter word. There's not too much profit in the world. Profit funds future growth. If all you do is break even, you'll never have enough money unless you're not paying for something to design new products, new systems, new services that will be useful in the marketplace. So that running your operation efficiently to make sure that you end up profitable is operations. And since humans don't live forever, you have to identify future leaders and develop them so that they will be successful at planning for the future and running the organization, being successful when they do run it at the top. And that's your people system. Strategy, operations, and people. If you're not seeing these three systems at work in all your many meetings and work and deliverables, you could be working on the wrong things. And in fact, I would be willing to bet you do. Your organization won't tolerate that for long either. And look, in the battle of ideas, what's fun is new ideas or different ideas or ideas that contravene the common wisdom, even though wisdom isn't common. We encourage you to try to think of a more comprehensive and yet simple system for running a billion-dollar organization.
All right. We got a ways to go.
Yeah.
We've been going almost 40 minutes here. So let's stop here.
Okay.
And then we'll pick up with the rest of this later. This is great. I love what you're talking about here.
Okay, good.
All right, folks. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.